I feel very called to become a member of the Catholic Church.
Love the Catholic Church. It's just the best place to be.
From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line. In North America, call toll-free 1-800-585-9396. That's 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. You can also send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Hey, tremendous Thursday to each and every one of you. Thanks so much for taking a little time out of the middle of your week to join us here on EWTN's Open Line Thursday. We talk the new evangelization on Thursdays, and it's a very special Open Line Thursday.
It's very special.
It's very special, as we are bringing to you live and in living color via Facebook Live and YouTube. Father Larry Richards is visible.
Visible. Isn't it scary?
Yeah, do we need to apologize to people for...
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, they can put them in their basement. If there's any rats down there, we'll get rid of all the rats.
Well, there you go. See, there's a benefit for you.
There you go. It could be good.
The number to be on the program is 1-800-585-9396. It's toll-free anywhere in North America. 1-800-585-9396. If you're outside the United States and Canada, your number is 1-205-271-2985. That's 1-205-271-2985. You can send us an email, openline@ewtn.com, or you can text your question to Father Larry.
Text the letters
EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response, message, and data rates may apply. I'm Jack Williams, Michael McCall producing the program. Your call screeners, Mr. Matt Kubensky and Jeff Burson, nice person taking care of our social media endeavors, including Skyping in Father Larry. Father Larry, I've received some interesting news in recent days that I thought you would be interested in.
Okay.
I'm sure that you have some... You are cognizant in some way of the magnitude of your reach.
No, I am, right.
But it's been brought to my attention that people actually who have to work like a real job during the day and don't have the luxury of being able to tune into Open Line, they are actually taking the podcast with them while they run.
Wow. Can you imagine?
In the evening. I cannot.
It must be Pope Francis, huh?
Well, you know, I'm not at liberty to disclose any of the particulars. It's there are government agencies involved, and
there you go.
But your appeal just continues to mushroom.
Yes, and the other way goes too. I am in doing a parish mission at Our Lady Queen of Peace in Broadheadsville, Pennsylvania, which is in the middle of nowhere, but some great people here. We've been having a fine time. The closest big city is Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
So, and that's about an hour away.
Did you drive?
So I rented a car and drove, yes.
How far
five
from
and a
Erie?
Half hours from
five
Erie.
And a half hours
five
from
Five and
Erie.
A half. So tonight's the last night of the mission, so right after I'll get in a car and drive about an hour and a half and then get a hotel and then drive the rest of the way tomorrow because I have a wedding rehearsal tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, well,
for a wedding on Saturday.
Thanks be to God. All of our listeners should keep that couple in their prayers as they
Absolutely.
Embark on this new adventure in their life. Well, you know, Father Larry, the lines are filling up. I say we just go to a phone call.
Sure.
What do you
think? Let's do it.
Let's try Pat in Columbus Grove, Ohio, listening on Holy Name Radio. Pat, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Pat.
Hello, Father Larry.
How are you?
Today?
I am
good.
Blessed.
I'm
blessed. Blessed.
What? I'm blessed. Yes.
Good
okay,
job. What's up?
I don't know if you have heard of the program Revive. Revive. There's Revive in different states. Revive Ohio. Revive Texas. And as far as I can understand from it, it is a Christian revival.
Does it come with guard dogs, Pat?
But I don't know of any Catholic connection to it. And that is my question, I guess.
Okay.
Catholics allowed to participate in other Christian denominations, you know, services, whether it's prayer or...
Sure. You're allowed to pray with them, praise and worship with them, all that kind of stuff. The main thing you just cannot do is receive communion at their services, because we have totally different beliefs about that. But I love to praise and worship with my brothers and sisters of other denominations. It's a great thing that we can at least all agree that we're here to worship Almighty God. And we can do that the ways we can. So, of course, you could do that. Just have to watch the teaching, because sometimes if they tell you, you know, something, that could be a problem, you know. But praise and worship, of course, you can do, but you just can never receive communion in another faith.
Right, okay, does that right. Help? My question is about evangelization. That is what this Revive program is about, is going out in
sure.
the community and evangelizing, and then they baptize the people. So I don't think...
Well, you couldn't do that, if they were rebaptizing Catholics, that's forbidden, because once baptized, always baptized. So you could not participate by doing anything like that. But you can praise and worship with them, but you couldn't rebaptize anybody. You're forbidden. You know, any Catholic cannot be rebaptized, period.
Understand that, but not for ourselves, but helping other non-believers.
Well, you couldn't do it either. Yeah. You could help participate in non-believers, but you just could not rebaptize Catholics in any way, shape, or form.
Okay, so helping to baptize non-believers in another Christian denomination is permissible for Catholics?
That's permissible, but you're not allowed to. Like, you can go to it. Like, let's say your little niece is a little Protestant Presbyterian. You can go to that service when she's baptized, right? You can watch, you can go to other people's baptisms. You just couldn't go if it's a Catholic being rebaptized, because then they're going against what we believe and what they're dismissing the Catholic Church, and that you can't be part of.
Catholic be
okay?
A godparent? Could a Catholic be a godparent to another Christian baptism?
Sure, if they'll let it. We let Protestants be a Christian witnesses in our faith, yes.
Okay. All right. I just felt uneasy about this Revive program, that it was, baptizing people out of our faith. You know, it's Christian.
Yeah, baptism, well, that's fine.
You know, okay.
A baptism is a baptism. They all count. Okay.
Right.
God bless you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
God bless you, Pat. Appreciate the phone call. That frees up a line for you at 1-800-585-9396, toll free anywhere in North America, 1-800-585-9396. And you know, we're going to head to a break now.
Okay.
So just sit tight. Don't do anything silly on the camera.
Tight.
All right?
Nothing.
And we will talk to more of these good folks
silly.
In just a minute. Open Line Thursday, talking the new evangelization with Father Larry Richards.
60 on 10 with Monsignor Charles Pope.
The 10th commandment, you shall not desire anything that is your neighbor's. This commandment is similar to the 9th because it uses the word covet, which means to inordinately or inappropriately desire something. And therefore, related to this are concepts that are familiar to us, such as greed or avarice, which is the undue passion for riches and powers. And likewise, envy and jealousy are related here. Jealousy, you have something that I want, but I want it inappropriately or inordinately. Likewise, though, envy is a very dark thing, because it wants to destroy that which is good in another, because it makes me look bad by comparison. And so, in all these ways, the Lord is asking us to look very carefully to our desires, because they can grow too expansive and lead us into very grave sins. The 10th commandment. You shall not desire anything that is your neighbor's.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic. The EWTN Warriors Rosary is a fitting tribute to all the spiritual warriors who have stood by us over the years. Handcrafted, each rosary is a unique creation. Get yours today. Visit EWTNRC.com.
It's the start of a new day for Morning Catholic Radio.
There's also a warning where he says, whoever's ashamed of me and my teachings in this ungodly age, I will be ashamed of him before my heavenly Father in heaven. So let's all remember, we're going to appear before the judgment seat one day. The Lord will ask us, did you hear my prophecy?
Part from me, you evildoers.
Yeah, we want to hear him say, well done, good
yes,
and faithful servant.
Indeed.
Morning Glory, Catholic from the start. Weekday mornings, 7 Eastern on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
This is Bishop John Brungardt of the Diocese of Dodge City.
This is Colin Donovan, Vice President for Theology.
This is Father Larry Richards, host of Open Line Thursday. Thanks for listening to EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question or comment, call 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
You know, you did that last promo without moving your lips. That was impressive, brother, I got to tell you.
Wasn't that unbelievable?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, the holiest ventriloquist in North America, Father Larry Richards, taking your phone calls.
Gosh.
We've got a couple lines open.
In tongues.
There you go. Got a couple lines open at 1-800-585-9396. It's toll-free anywhere in North America. 1-800-585-9396. Next up for us is Olivia. She's in Kansas City, Missouri, listening on KEXS. Olivia, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello,
Hi, Father.
Olivia.
It's so nice to talk to you.
It's nice to talk to you.
This question is very similar to the last question, except for I have a Protestant friend who married her husband in the church, saying that she would raise their children Catholic. And then when it came to baptizing them, she was asking me about godparents, and I told her, well, you want to pick somebody who's going to help you raise them Catholic. I said, you can have one godparent who is not Catholic and one who is, that can, you know, encourage them in their faith. And so with that, she said, well, I don't want to raise them Catholic. So she changed her mind and never got them baptized and said she wanted them to make the decision when they wanted to be baptized. So now her son is 6, and he's old enough to make that decision that he wants to follow Christ for the rest of his life. And she's asked me to come to the baptism. Should I go? Now her husband also left the church.
Yeah, that would be the problem, was with the husband, because she did not have to promise to raise the kids Catholics. If she was not a Catholic, her husband had to make that promise. He would do everything in his power to raise the kid Catholic. So it's not her. She's, you know, again, like if, let's say you marry a Protestant and you decide you're going to, let's just for instance say you married a Protestant and you want to raise the kids Catholic and you do it, and yet your in-laws say, or your sister-in-law says, I'm not coming because you're raising that kid's Catholic, you know. And this is what you were brought up your whole life in, you know. So, again, we all look at our sides. I just think that the problem is he should be knowing better. But often, you know, people will just be I ain't going to bring this to be a fight in the family, so I'll just let it happen. The child is still baptized. It still counts, you know. So it does count for a true baptism. You know, we would never have to rebaptize that child. So since the baptism counts, I would think, well, you pray about it, but I would think you could go because it still counts, you know. But he should know better.
Okay.
The best thing, though, if you don't feel comfortable, just go afterwards.
Right.
Well, again, you'd have to talk to him because she wasn't Catholic and isn't Catholic. It's not her responsibility to raise those kids Catholic. It's his responsibility.
And then, so
but there let's say he doesn't want to be Catholic.
Anything that I should give her for, like, information on the church, or
I would give it to him. But when it comes, you can always evangelize. I mean, that's part of what we do, is we evangelize. So you tell her about the Eucharist and the power. But again, no. Sometimes when people, like for baptism, they sit there and they see our rules, like, okay, you have to be living the faith and different things, and they just see us as a church of rules. You know, what's that got to do with my child being baptized? And they don't understand it all, because, you know, we hit them with rules and we don't hit them with all the other things. So what I would do is not bring up anything about the rules of the faith and bring up the reality of Jesus in the faith and the Eucharist and the teaching of the faith and what that means. And then you evangelize with her that way. Do not evangelize her with rules, because she'll run even farther. Father away. Catholics do it all the time. Trust me, I'm a pastor. I know quite well. As soon as I hit them, they're done. And okay, we're just a church of rules. I want nothing to do with that church. So we want to make sure that we bring them in through Jesus and tell them about the richness of the faith and the Eucharist and all that kind of stuff. And then it might you plant those seeds and God can do the rest.
Okay. All right. Okey-doke. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling us. God bless you, Olivia.
Couple lines open for you at 1-800-585-9396. Toll free anywhere in North America, 1-800-585-9396. Looking for your questions on the new evangelization. Candace is in Tallahassee, Florida, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Candace, thanks for holding. You're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Candace.
Hi.
Thanks, Father. What's up?
Thank you for my call.
Sure.
I just started a anthropology class at my local mm-hmm. community college,
mm-hmm.
and I've taken a number of classes in the last couple semesters, and it's the typical modern secularism that I'm getting.
Sure, but sure.
This particular class, I feel, is over the top. I'd call it indoctrination one-on-one.
Okay.
And so my question is, we're learning things such as everything is relative to culture. There is mm-hmm. no truth, mm-hmm. and we've moved into this phase of anthropology called postmodernism.
Sure,
and
sure.
Today, specifically, we got into the subject of people and then primates and animals. Mm-hmm. And our teacher mm-hmm. didn't explicitly say it today, but I think it's coming up soon. But basically that people and animals are exactly the same. They have the mm-hmm. same characteristics mm-hmm. of language. They can learn and all these things. And so from a religious point of view, you know, I'd be able to say that humans have intrinsic value more so than animals. We have reason, all that stuff. But my first question is, how would I be able to argue that either from a philosophical point of view or just, you know, reason or rational thought, science? And then secondly, when it comes to tests, I really haven't had to encounter this yet, but I think that might come this semester. But if on a test, I'm asked the question about, are animals the same as people? Where is my moral obligation to just go along with the fact
well, what you could
my grade?
No. You don't have to do that, because you could sit there, and if he got you on something, you could claim hate, that there's a hate speech against you and what you believe. So you don't want to go there. But what you can do is, like, let's say as animals and whatever the same. You could say in a test, well, according to you, yes, but I don't agree with that, but this is what you want, I'll give you what you want, you know what I'm saying? So you say that, but, you know, if it's any kind of a class, you should be able to ask questions in that. Now, there's all kinds of stuff you can go online and find, you know, just put in there, Catholic Answers has some great stuff, you know, about how to deal with these type of issues, postmodernism and that. I always say it's always great to hear the other side's views. It ain't going to hurt you. It's going to be like, oh, so you can then argue with them in a better way. But again, anything that they would say, what I would say is, like, let's say you learned something today, come back and go to Catholic Answers or EWTN, or put it in Google, and what's the answer to this? And you put, what's the Catholic answer, or even the Christian answer to this, what you heard today, and then you can get some interesting, lot of stuff you can read. But I'm not into arguing with people, because my thing is, we want to bring these people to Christ. I don't want to argue with you, got to change. What I want to do is, I want you to come to know Jesus. And so how do we do that? So first, the thing you can do is you pray for them. And so every day you sit there and ask the Lord to touch that person's heart and help them to know how much God loves them. And then you do stuff when you're there, and you be this person of Christ. Now, don't let them step on our faith in any way, shape, or form. But, you know, you can respond the best you can. Does that help you?
Well,
go
it
ahead.
It does, Father. It does. I'd like to consider myself open-minded, and I do try to
sure.
receive and listen and really have a good understanding
sure.
from their perspective. But what if they do say something that is directly opposed? So, like, I think yesterday, the day before, it was said that even religion can be a blinding scope of which we look through life in. And the implication was that even religion is relative. So when things that explicitly are said, you know, I don't know how to approach that. And I don't really care to start an argument either.
Yes.
I mean, that,
but again, though, religion very much can be a relative. I mean, you can be Buddhist, you can be Muslim, you can be all kinds of stuff, and say, oh, well, we don't believe in that. So it can be very, very relative. What you want to make sure is, if he ever attacks, like, the Catholic faith is wrong because of this, That's when you spring forth and say, no, what you're doing, I believe, is hate speech against me and what my faith is. And if you say anything against my church again, then I'm going to report you to the dean, and we're going to see. And then when the dean calls you, say, I'm going to get a lawyer and we are going to sue you. but you don't have to go there. But if they explicitly talk against the Catholic faith, well, then you need to go. But other things, you know, religion can be relative. Well, of course it can. Now, what you can sit there and say, if he says truth is relative, then it's when you say, well, if truth is relative, then it isn't truth, because for truth to be truth, it has to be objective reality. It has to be something that we can all agree on. That person exists, you know. And so if it's just relative, then it's really not truth, right? So you can argue that and really have it and come from a rational thing. But that's why I say you should go and get some good arguments, because again, my thing here is evangelization, not how to argue. If you want to know how to do that, you call back tomorrow with Donovan, or you talk with Father Mitch on Wednesdays. They're going to give you some great things about how to answer those things. But I'm just going to sit there and try to help you bring that person to Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
And Candace, keep one thing in mind. When you're taking exams in these sorts of situations, you're being tested on the material that was presented to you in class. You're not being tested on your moral fiber.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Okay. That's helpful. Thank you. I appreciate that, too.
Jack is the best.
Wow, that was so disingenuous, I don't even know where to go with it. 1-800-585-9396 is our toll-free number. 1-800-585-9396. That's the number Christian used. He's in Akron, Ohio, listening on Living Bread Radio. Christian, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, hi. Christian.
Hi.
What's up?
I just want to get it right out there that I'm a Protestant, and I enjoy listening to Catholic radio just to be more informed on what Catholic
actually is. Well, I'm glad you called. What's up?
I have a Protestant friend who said to me that he gets confused when Catholics refer to Protestants as brothers, specifically because of a passage in John 6 where Jesus says, unless you eat of my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And obviously we have a very different view on the Eucharist and the presence of Christ in the elements. And so I'm wondering how you can freely call us brothers and sisters when Jesus says we don't have life in us.
Well, he does. But, well, the main thing is the reason you do have life and we're brothers and sisters is because of baptism. And so we have a common father in that, in our common baptism. So that brings us into grace. Now, what we disagree on is the Eucharist and different things. Now, for you guys, what you would believe is the Eucharist and the full body and blood is when you get, that's the teaching, you know, so this is the teaching. So though we don't agree on that, there's still more that unites us than there is that divides us. So what you just did is you looked at one thing and says, because of this, then would be divided. And we'd say, no, that's one thing of many. We all believe we're saved by grace. We believe in the scriptures together. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Trinity. We believe in all these things. There are more that we agree on and not. So we call each other, though, the separated brothers and sisters, because we're still separated in many ways.
So what is it that you believe Jesus is saying when he's saying you have no life in you?
That if you don't believe in the reality of Christ in the Eucharist, in his Eucharist, whether physical, the body elements, or in his word, that you're rejecting the gift that God wants to give you. Right? So again, we are not a fundamentalist, if you will. So we don't take one verse of the Bible and say, this is what it means for everybody. You know, what we do believe is that it is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Unless he says, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you. So for Catholics, that would mean unless you receive communion, you cannot live forever. For someone who doesn't believe that, they will be judged on their faith, right? The Catholic Church says that even an atheist who, through no fault of their own, is an atheist, then there's hope for their salvation. So again, if, like for instance, let's say that you came to believe as a Protestant that really was the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, and you said, I believe it, but I reject it. Well, now you're setting yourself for judgment. because you believe that and you're rejecting what God wants to give to you. But let's say with all your heart you don't believe that. Well, then you will be judged differently now, won't you?
Okay.
You understand?
So I can receive that life. So when I'm sitting in my Protestant church and receiving the communion elements, I'm receiving the body and divinity of Jesus, even though that's not how I see it. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that you'll receive what you believe. In your heart, the main way that you receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity would be through the teaching, right? Through the Word of God.
Correct.
Right? And so you do receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus in His Word, correct?
Yes.
You just don't receive Him in the elements that we believe, and because God is present in His Word, and God is also present in the elements. So you can still receive, if you will, Eucharist, if you will, in His Word, but not the same way we receive it in the physical reality of His body and blood. So you're still receiving life, but not the same way, because you don't believe the same way. But again, we'll pray for you, Christian. What a great name.
God bless you, Christian.
Thank you for calling us.
1-800-585-9396 is our toll-free number. 1-800-585-9396. Open Line Thursday with Father Larry.
Catholic Answers Live is on EWTN Television.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett. Join me for a show dedicated to Catholic apologetics and evangelization as we connect viewers to prominent leaders in the church today and touch on just about everything relating to the church. Doctrinal issues, family concerns, social issues, evangelization, ethics, you name it.
Catholic Answers Live TV, Friday night, 5:30 Eastern on EWTN Television.
This is Father Stephen Abrato, Priest for Life with Pro-Life Update. How does abortion harm women, men, and families, and how do people heal from the wounds? The more we understand this, the better we can persuade our culture to reject abortion. As Pope Benedict once said, abortion blinds the conscience, often ruining family life. Through her research, Dr. Teresa Burke, who founded Rachel's Vineyard, has shown the damage families suffer from abortion, often without realizing it. Dr. Philip Ney has also studied this and said nothing harms families more than abortion. Every September, the Healing the Shockwaves of Abortion Initiative of the Silent No More campaign focuses on the damage abortion does to the whole family and calls families to come together for healing through programs like Rachel's Vineyard. AbortionShockwaves.com, you'll find more information both about the wounds and the healing. This is Father Stephen Imbrato on EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
And all the people who are working so hard to get us on radio, you know, that's wonderful. It's not that expensive, I don't think. And even if you reach 100 miles or 50 miles, you help spread the word. And we do all the programming for you. Programming is the expensive stuff, you know, so you don't have to worry about programming. And so we want to thank you for everything you've done to make this radio possible.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question or comment, call 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
One line open for you at 1-800-585-9396. Toll free anywhere in North America, 1-800-585-9396. Father Larry, we're going to my hometown. Like,
wow.
Literally. Like I always say when we have somebody who calls from St. Louis, I always say it's my hometown, but this is literally my hometown.
Wow.
Mary Kay is in Collinsville, Illinois, listening to EWTN Radio. Mary Kay, I grew up in Collinsville.
You did.
I did.
Isn't that scary, Mary Kay? I'm sorry. What's up?
Okay. I have a niece that I am the godmother to. My husband is the godfather to. I'm Catholic.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I'm the godmother. And through the years, I mean, as she was growing up, I fell away from the Catholic Church. it's not that I went to another religion. I just didn't practice it for a while.
Okay.
I am back and strong, stronger than ever.
Sure.
And now my sister, which, you know, we came from nine children in a Catholic family, very strong Catholic family. And she is the youngest of all of us. I'm the second youngest. But she has decided to be non-denominational.
Mm-hmm.
And now my niece that I am the godmother to, she has decided that she wants to be blessed by the, she wants to accept the Holy Spirit into her heart by the non-denominational. My sister wants me to go to it, and I know it's okay. I know it's okay to go, but I know I'm strong enough. I know that my faith can withstand it, but I just don't want, for some reason, I just don't feel it's right. And
well, and again, if she was brought up Catholic, it's you know, to go again, to turn her back on the faith.
My sister was, yes.
But not your niece?
I think your niece very seldom went to church. I think she very seldom went to church.
Because, again, if she's not going against the Catholic Church by being baptized Catholic and then going against the church later, then it's up to you. I mean, but if she was sitting there Catholic and saying, no, I'm rejecting Catholic faith, well, of course you couldn't go to something like that. But if she's just now, you know, brought up whatever and now she's coming to Jesus, well, you can rejoice with her in knowing Jesus. In this little conversation here, it's hard to find out all the stuff that's going on. But the last thing you want to do is fight about it. So you could sit there and say, like, let's say that, you know, she really wants to come to her faith and she wants to share that with you. That's one thing. Another thing to know, she wants to reject the Catholic Church. That's another thing. But if instead of you just saying, I can't go because I won't feel comfortable there, you could just sit there and say, oh, that night, and make something else that you need to be doing that day when that happens. You know, like my girlfriend called me, and actually don't lie about it, so actually get your girlfriend and say, hey, can we go to lunch that day? And then tell your friend, I have to go to lunch that day with Mary Beth or whatever. You know, so don't make it an issue. Is what I always say. We always have to make our issues. And I always say it's always better not to make things issues if they don't need to be.
Oh, I already told her I don't think I could go.
Okay, well then. It's not because my
faith isn't strong enough.
I'm not least bit concerned about your faith being strong enough. The least bit concerned. It doesn't bother me at all. What I'm concerned about is what kind of relationship are you going to have with your niece because of this? And will you draw her closer to Jesus in the Catholic faith, or will you push her farther away? That's what we come down to. For you, I could care. Doesn't matter, because it's not about us when it comes to Christianity. It's about how we bring other people to Jesus Christ. So you, I'm not concerned about. I am concerned about your niece. That's what you got to pray about.
Okay.
You understand?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. God bless you.
You're welcome, Mary Kay. 1-800-585-9396 is our toll-free number. 1-800-585-9396. What is it, Father Larry?
Toll free.
It's toll free where?
I don't know.
Anywhere in
everywhere.
North America.
Anywhere.
Everywhere,
Jack says so.
Everywhere but Father Larry's rental car. 1-800-585-9396. You know, you can also send us an email.
Do it.
Email us. Send an email to openline@ewtn.com. I've got the email bag in front of me for Thursday, Father Larry.
Wow. Is there anything in there?
One piece of paper.
Can you imagine?
One piece of paper in the mailbag for Father Larry on Thursday. Don't cry. I see you. I see you welling up. Don't do it.
It's okay.
Send us an email. openline@ewtn.com. Put something like Father Larry or Stop Crying or Thursday or something like that in the subject
line.
You're
going to see Jesus one of these days. I'm going to be there in just a couple weeks there, just so you remember.
In front of Jesus?
No, well, I'm here. Going to be here in a couple hours, but I'm going to be down in Birmingham for the youth of the radio thing in October. So
that's November. But thanks for playing.
Oh, is it? No, is it November?
It is. Yeah.
Oh well, either way, you know, it's just so it's like yesterday.
So Mary Therese just gives you little bite-sized chunks of your calendar.
I have no idea where I'm going.
You can only handle so
much.
I
know I'm coming down there, and I have to do something with Dr. Ray. That's what I know. So
that's right. That's right. Well, I'm happy for that bit of knowledge that you've latched onto.
There you go.
1-800-585-9396 is our toll-free number. Next up is Paul. He's in St. Petersburg, Florida, listening on Peace Be With You Radio. Paul, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Paul.
He's in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Paul, are you there?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Paul, what's your question for Father?
Father Larry, thanks for taking my call.
Good to
be. I really love your concept of your words on evangelization.
Thank
you. Listen, I just converted to being a Catholic. Actually, I came to the church this Easter Vigil.
Okay,
and
welcome.
I'm so loving my new church family. And my question is, Father Larry, my mom, who's going to be 80 next year, was born a Catholic, raised a Catholic, I guess. We never really talked about religion very much when I was younger.
Okay.
And I'd like some words from you, some advice on how to bring her back to the church, because she's fallen away from the church, and she doesn't really have much to say or much to believe about it these days.
Okay, well, the biggest thing, especially now that she's 80, is I'd start working on her, you know, what's going to happen after she goes, you know, and what does she believe, and, you know, because that would really be the thing she has to be thinking about, and any day she could wake up dead, you know, in reality. So, but if you start talking about, you know, what do you want, you know, do you want a priest there to get last rites, you know, what do you want? No, well, why? You know, why would that not be important to you? You know, and you might be able to find out that she was hurt by the church earlier in life. Who knows? But at least it might get the conversation going.
Awesome.
Okie doke. And just start praying for her. I mean, the Lord already wants her heart and already knows what's best. So just start praying for her, especially the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and use her name in there, you know. Because of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on my mother and on the whole world. Because of my sorrowful passion, have mercy on my mother and on the whole world. And then great things can happen.
Great, Father Larry. Appreciate your words.
Thank you. God bless you, Paul.
God bless you, too.
That frees up a line for you at 1-800-585-9396. That's the number Julian used driving through the Republic of Texas. Listening to EWTN Radio, Julian, you are on with Father Larry.
Hello, Julian.
Good afternoon, Father Larry.
How are you?
I'm actually doing really good, actually.
Okay.
Thank you for
What's
asking.
Up? Sure.
I just have a question. Me and my wife, we got married through Catholic Church. We did we did everything through church, and
okay.
I'm not saying that I'm not Catholic anymore. But my thing is that I noticed that my wife prays the saints,
okay.
And I kind of tell her, I said I don't feel comfortable about doing that.
Sure.
And she tells me, well, it's not a bad thing, but I say, well, yeah, I'd rather pray to Jesus, but. We actually got into an argument because of this, because she says I shouldn't say that stuff, but I'm not looking to prove her right or wrong. I just want to know for my own salvation.
Well, of course.
Am I okay to pray to Jesus?
Well,
of course. Something about false idols.
No, but that ain't. We do not pray to saints, first of all. We pray with saints. You know, if you read the Acts of the Apostles, Mary, the apostles, when the Holy Spirit came down upon them, they were praying with Mary. You know, and so, like, if you don't want to pray to saints, then don't ever ask anybody else to pray for you, because you're beating idol worship. You know, now, of course, we can pray for each other. We belong to each other. So the saints are our brothers and sisters who are ahead of us, that are see the face of God, so we can ask them to pray with us and for us. You know, so that's one of the greatest things about the faith. You know, like, when the biggest thing is about, you know, even when you pray to Jesus, we should not just be praying to Jesus, but Jesus told us to pray to the Father. I mean, right? Everything he came to told us. He talked about praying to the Father, praying to the Father. This is how you should pray to the Father, who will hear you. So we need to bring in the whole family in all of our prayer, because it's not just me and Jesus forever. It's all of us forever. You understand?
So to tag along with that, so... Because I told her that, I mean, I want to go to church because I want to show my son better than...
Sure.
I mean, my family, we were religious, but I wasn't really in church every Sunday. And I told my wife, I said, I'll go to church with you, but I just sometimes don't understand our own church, probably because I'm not the best in Spanish. But I just told her, I would like to go to church with you all the time.
Sure.
Just know that I'm not going to pray, or, you know, because she... because she does, but I'm
well, you, but the biggest reason you need to go to church is to receive the Eucharist, because you can talk to Jesus all you want. It's like talking to me on the phone now. It's an altogether different thing than receiving him in the Eucharist. You know, you can talk to your wife on the phone, and you can be intimate with your wife, and there's two entirely different realities, correct?
Yes, sir.
So it's the same with the Eucharist. So you never want to turn your back on the Eucharist, so you get your butt to church every Sunday.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
There you go. God bless you. Bye-bye.
1-800-585-9396 is our toll-free number. 1-800-585-9396. So what are you doing over there? You look like Quasimodo all of a sudden.
I'm trying to read this thing in the bottom of the screen here. I don't have my glasses on.
I've got I'm going to read it to you right now.
Okay, very good.
Several people have called in. And they want some clarification from you because they thought that you were saying reading the scriptures is the same as receiving the Eucharist.
Well, it's not the same. Of course, it's not the same, but it's the same encounter with Jesus in a different reality, you know. So, like, when you read the scriptures, like the Orthodox Church, one of the things they do is they have a sanctuary light, not only in front of the Blessed Sacrament, but also in front of the ambo in front of the thing, because Christ is present both in both places. And so there isn't less of Christ's presence or more of Christ's presence. It's a different type of presence. So the sacramental presence of Christ in the Eucharist is very, very important. But Christ is also very present in his word. And so that's what I was trying to say. And I wasn't explaining it so well. I don't do those things well. But you're encountering Jesus in the Eucharist, and you're encountering the same Jesus in his word. Does that clarify it, Jack?
I think it does.
Well, thank you.
Once again, the number is 1-800-585-9396. We do have an email from Jonathan, the lone email.
We're
emptying the mailbag here on this Open Line Thursday.
Okay.
I watch you a lot on YouTube, the conferences, and other podcasts. You always mention how important it is to have a copy of the Bible, and you say it needs to be a Catholic Bible. You also mention that you read the Septuagint. My question is, would you please let me know what Bible you are using?
Okay. I use my own private Bible that I use is the 1971 version of the New American Bible. You know, it's no longer published. The Catholic bishops own the publishing rights to that, and they redid it. Later on, I don't like the translation, but nobody asked me. I used the old translation of the New American Bible in 1971. So you can still get that, you know, that's the one I use and the one I read from. And part of the reality is because, like, just my Be a Man book, that's the way it's translated in the New American Bible. You go to the RSV, it doesn't even say Be a Man. So it's kind of like, you know, it's important with these translations. And sometimes I wish there was just one, but there isn't. There's hundreds of them. But the ones we hear on Sunday at Mass is the New American Bible for Catholics.
We'll head to the great state of Michigan, where Rachel is listening on Barriga Broadcasting. Rachel, you're on with Father Larry.
Hi,
hello,
Father
Rachel.
Larry, how are you doing?
I am so blessed. What is up?
A lot up. I need tons of prayers, Father.
Okay.
I have an 18-year-old daughter who thinks they need everything, and she was in Catholic school all her life, knows right from wrong, etc., but I had to put her in a public school for a couple of years, and it was the worst decision of my life from my own experience. They influenced a lot of the teachers, media, et cetera, has influenced her thinking of feminist thinking and very, very liberal views on same gender things and all this other weird baloney. Anyway, that's influenced who she is now, unfortunately. She is pretty much almost agnostic at this point. So I don't know what to do. But Saint, can I pray to you for her conversion and her life?
Well, I'd go to our Blessed Mother and put her in our Blessed Mother's hands. And again, if you want it to go to the next level, I'd start fasting for her. You know, but again, the way you say the rosary is holy, the second part, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for and put your daughter's name in there now at the hour of her death. Amen. And then also you could do the same thing with the Divine Mercy Chaplet. You know, because of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on, put your daughter's name there and on the whole world. And so your prayer can do phenomenal things. But if you want to go to the next level, then you start a fast on Fridays or so with the, bread and water or no in between meals and say, Lord, I offer this up for the salvation of my daughter. Now, again, it might take a while. It took St. Monica over 20 years to get Augustine converted. So, but your prayers will be heard.
Okay. Excellent. Okay. And so how many times a week should I do this? Like every day or every other day?
Well, I mean, I would pray the rosary, and you should be saying the rosary every day anyway. So if you do it for your daughter, then that's a great thing.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. God bless you.
Appreciate the call, Rachel. That frees up a line for you at 1-800-585-9396. That's toll-free anywhere in North America, 1-800-585-9396. Cole is in Kansas City, Kansas, listening to EWTN on KEXS. Cole, what's your question today for Father Larry?
Hello, Cole.
Hi, Father.
How are you?
Good. I read your book. I love it.
Thank you very much. Good. I'm sorry. But did you do the 30 things in there, Cole, that you have to do?
No, I actually have a question. I'm a Catholic, and I have a question on, listen to a lot of Trent Horn and the kind of atheist arguments and stuff like that, and I was wondering why aren't Eucharistic miracles or like Our Lady of Guadalupe or things that kind of aren't explainable. I mean, even scientists, we see atheist scientists convert because of the unexplainable phenomena that happens, you know, in Our Lady of Guadalupe or Eucharistic miracles or something like that. So why aren't those used as arguments for God more often?
I think that they are. The problem is they have to, when you use a Eucharistic miracle, you have to take a lot of time to explain it. You know, explain how this happened and why it happened and how we know it's miraculous and all that. And so that's usually why. But, you know, I think that those are some of the best things ever to bring people to God when they can see, like, Our Lady of Guadalupe. But remember, like, when, she ran for president, Hillary Clinton went down there and she was at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine, and she goes, well, who painted this? And Monsignor said, God, but it didn't faze her at all, so it all depends. That's why I think it's so important that when we're trying to bring people to a relationship with Jesus, we got to pray to the Holy Spirit, because he'll tell us whether we use, whether we should be using the Eucharistic miracles or the miracles or Fatima. You know, I love when we talk about Fatima and the sky danced and there was thousands and thousands of people that saw that, you know. But again, it depends on what the person needs. But that's why the Spirit of God knows what each person needs. And so if you're praying, then the Spirit can tell you which of the things to use. Does that help, Cole?
Okay.
But you're right.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. God bless you. Thanks for calling us. Do the 30 things.
Back to the St. Louis area we go. Katrina's in Wentzville, Missouri, listening on Covenant Radio. Katrina, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Katrina.
Hi, Father.
How are you?
So, I'm good.
Okay, what's
I'm nervous because I'm on the radio. That's
Don't
weird.
Be nervous. There's
you're
no
among,
big
You're
thing.
Among friends, Katrina.
Exactly. What's up?
So, my question is, okay, so I'm new to Missouri, and I have a hard time making friends. Like, if I meet non-Christian or non-Catholics, I feel kind of hesitant to be friends with them.
Okay.
And then if I do meet Catholics like myself, then I feel intimidated because I feel like I'm not Catholic enough.
Okay.
So I kind of feel like I'm in limbo and I don't even know how to make friends should I even try.
Are you in the St. Louis area?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there's such great parishes in the St. Louis area. And how old are you, Katrina?
I'm 30.
Okay. Well, there's young adult groups throughout the city. What I'd encourage you is get involved in a young adult group. Just put young adult Catholic groups and Google and find out what happens in St. Louis. Because there are some great, 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 great parishes. I've been there many times, and spoken, done a lot of missions in that there. So that's what I'd encourage you. That'd be a good place to start.
Is it wrong to feel intimidated to make Catholic friends? Because I feel like being converted, that I don't know enough to even...
Hey, Katrina, can I tell you a little story about that, Katrina?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. My wife and I lived in Des Moines, Iowa at the time, and our children were in, I think, fifth grade and second grade, and we took them to Disney World for spring break.
Mm.
Okay? My mother-in-law lives in Huntsville, so we stopped there on the way, made it a two-day trip driving. And we went to the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament. We got up early the next morning to head for Orlando and got up early enough to be able to go to Mass at the Shrine with Mother Angelica and the sisters. And we were walking out of Mass at the Shrine, which is always a beautiful, just a glorious event. And we're walking, and my wife and I are both lamenting that we are not nearly as Catholic as we need to be. We have got to get our act together. So we went to Orlando. The Sunday that we were there, there's a beautiful shrine in Orlando. We went to Mass at the shrine. It was wall-to-wall people, shoulder-to-shoulder, not an empty seat in the house. And a beautiful liturgy. They did the order of it takes care of the shrine, did a great job. And we knelt down after communion to say our prayers. And when we stood up for the final blessing, the place was empty. Everybody had raced after communion to the parking lot to get to the parks. And my wife and I looked at each other and said, well, you know what, maybe we're not doing so bad after all.
Yeah.
You're never going to be where you want to be this side of heaven.
Exactly. And at the same time, if you're a convert, you probably know more than 90% of people that were brought up in the faith. So I wouldn't worry about it. Trust me on this. I mean, honest to goodness, so.
Well, I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to my first women's retreat in November. So,
oh, great. Well, there you go.
It'll be
absolutely
awesome.
God bless you.
All right. Thank you. God bless. Thank you.
Bye-bye, Katrina.
We'll head now to Fort Worth, Texas. Ruth is in Fort Worth listening on Guadalupe Radio. Ruth, we've got a couple minutes left with Father Larry. What's your question?
Hello, Ruth.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just had a question. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Yes. I have a 12-year-old who wants to play soccer. He's been wanting to play soccer for a year. And they just set the schedules for Sunday morning practice at 9:30 in the morning, which is usually when we go to church. So I said, no way, you know. What kind of person would schedule it at 9:30 on Sunday morning? And he said, well, can't we go to church at 8 a.m.? And I said, well, you know, I don't mind going at 8 a.m. I don't want him to think that God is mean or anything. But I'm just wondering, what do you think? Because I want him to... You know, he's already my kid out of the four that's the least desirous of being at church. So I don't want to associate church with deprivation of social.
Well, again, if they're not a Catholic group or a Christian group, I mean, in the Catholic Church, I had to come real strong in the diocese. We had to set rules down that no practice on Sunday mornings because they were doing it in the Catholic Church, you know. So, but, and they said, well, tell them some other time. But I would think, you know, if it's not a Catholic group, what are you going to do? But what you can do is make sure that, okay, but you're always coming to church at 8 o'clock with me, you know, so that's always a big thing. So they can do both. You know, especially at that age, you don't want to sit there and, you know, like, I couldn't play soccer because my mom made me go to church. Well, that would be, like, not a good way to bring him home to the faith.
Sure. And if it were a Catholic place, would you have the same answer?
Well, if it's a Catholic place, then I would call the pastor or I'd call the bishop of the diocese and say they're playing, you know, like we had and again, you have to get a priest on your side because sometimes it won't work, but I just made a big, big thing. You should never, ever have stuff on Sunday morning while masses are going on. And the bishop of your diocese, 10-1, would agree with you.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for your help.
God bless you. Uh-huh.
God bless you, Ruth. We appreciate the phone call. So, Father Larry, give a little plug for the parish you're at one more time.
I am at Our Lady Queen of Peace in Broadheadsville, Pennsylvania, outside of Allentown or Strasburg, Pennsylvania.
And what are we talking about tonight for people that are in the area?
Adoration and healing. And so we anoint everybody with St. Joseph's oil, and there's a lot of great healings that happen tonight. So come if you're in the area.
Beautiful. Well, Father Larry, would you leave us with a blessing?
Absolutely. Father, great God of love and mercy, we ask your blessing upon everyone who's listening to us now. In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. On behalf of our host, Father Larry Richards, our producer, Michael McCall, our call screener, Mr. Jeff Burson. How about or nice Carson, person. Or Matt Gabensky, whoever you want to have screen the
Whoever's
calls.
There,
I think Jeff Burson's actually taking care of social media, but what do I know? Thanks for taking a little time. I'm Jack Williams, by the way, if anybody cares. But
we all care,
we
Jack.
All care. Back at it tomorrow. Colin Donovan will be in the house taking your questions on theology, our very own vice president of theology. Father Larry, have a great night.
You too. God bless you.
Back at it tomorrow. Until then, God bless.